The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis, with your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro. This program will catapult your awareness in the mastery of power, influence, and persuasion. Journey to the uncharted conversations of human interactions and discover your winning capital. Now, from the boardroom to the bedroom with Suzanne Z. Pedro.
Good day, everybody. I can't wait to tell you about our guest, and this is a very timely show with a unique opportunity to get an exclusive, I'm telling you, an exclusive sneak peek of author, and he's a lawyer and attorney, Professor Morgan Malthrop, of his September 9th release book at the October Bookstore, which will be in New Orleans, of the Andrew Jackson's Playbook, 15 Strategies for Success. And this show will give and garner enthusiasts of historical, military, and business strategies, along with fascinating tale of Reconstructionism, especially since we're going back to the 200-year anniversary of where Andrew Jackson defeated the British Army, and the ninth year of this month of August going into Katrina, where he just juxtaposes the two, and which you'll see is very fascinating, using the strategies and the bravados of the military, and which today, with all the global violence and the different things that can be applicable, that if other leaders would use, and not only that, from the boardroom to the bedroom. So, as my guest, he has been in the jungles of Wall Street and in the halls of Random House, so he's very, very familiar with the different strategies. So, I'd like to welcome my guest, Morgan Malthrop.
Well, Suzanne, I'm a big fan of yours. It's just great to be on your show, and thank you for having me today.
Oh, I can't be more enthused because, like I said, a lot of people that didn't experience Katrina and your 15 strategies will be able to give such enlightenment. And what I like, I'm a big fan of studying Sun Tzu, The Art of War. And I know they use that in military classes and things like that. And I find your strategies just as compelling, if not more. So I can't wait to discuss it with you. But I first have to ask you, like, as you worked on Wall Street and in those the big publishing firms of Random House, as you know, and as an attorney professor, what was your transitioning to writing?
It's an interesting transition. I think in somebody's life, you're always a writer if you're a writer. And what I mean by that is at a certain point in life, one turns to writing, whether it's to work something out or because they have to for their profession. Certainly all of the professions that I've ever had to do included a large portion of writing. And as we transition through to the creative industries that I think are going to be the forefront of the next generations, the people who can write, the people who can who have talents that are graphic design and are artistic, they're going to be the people that can't be replaced by machines. So, you know, when did I become a writer? I guess I've always been a writer, right? And I think also to answer that question, you have to be a great reader to be a great writer. And my mother just sat me on her lap, and she used to read to me when I was a child. And those are the kinds of experiences one never forgets. So you start to value reading. And what she's telling me by having me on her lap is that we as a family value books. We value writers. So I think that that has a huge influence on inspiring children and inspiring people.
It's a sad commentary today that children do not value, or parents give the value system of the books. It's more, you know, of video games and, you know, social media, and I think there's a lack of that. And so I do worry that there is going to be a diminishing population of people, you know, but there's always creative people, and I'm sure there'll always be writers. And
yeah,
so
always be creative people. And the other side to that is, you know, I had to teach myself social media, otherwise I was going to be a dinosaur. And that's just you too, right, Susan?
Yeah, I knew the feeling. Absolutely. Especially
you just have to relearn whatever it is that's going on in the world, and you know, you have to embrace whatever it is that's going on at the time.
Well,
I made the transition to writing seriously when I didn't have really many other choices in my life. And I had something to get out, and I just had this story when I returned to New Orleans. And it's just a fascinating story, Suzanne. I mean,
what?
The Battle of New Orleans is one of the great untold or one of the great stories of all of American history that people just don't know about. And we could be very much an English country had not a man named Jackson come down here and gotten a very contradictory population who really didn't get along very well with one another. If he didn't come down and basically pull them together with his charisma and took a team of less than 3,000 people, and this is a ragtag team of Creoles, two battalions of free people of color, pirates, and Creole plantation owners, Spanish, French, and Tennessee volunteers, along with Kaintucks, basically, against 14,000 British troops that were considered the greatest army of their day. In fact, they sent the brother-in-law, the Duke of Wellington, over to fight. And they meant business. They wanted New Orleans. New Orleans was the prize because it was at the mouth of the Mississippi River, and the river was the internet of its day. And that river was going opening up all of this farmland and all of this economic activity in America and making the country wealthy. So New Orleans was the prize, and they wanted it. And if it weren't for Jackson, New Orleans would have fallen to the British, and the entire Mississippi River, and what it would have been the Louisiana Purchase, would have fallen as well.
You know, what gets me is that, I mean, he had the, you know, to be able to bring all these different diverse groups together. I think you even mentioned a voodoo queen.
Yes. You know, people misinterpret sometimes voodoo, and they think it's this hysterical, vexing, hexing kind of magic. And what it was a monotheistic religion that was brought by the enslaved Africans in 1719. And because slavery laws were different under the French and the Spanish, the enslaved were allowed a day off on Sunday, where they culturally were able to maintain their culture, and their culture was involved with this particular religion. And New Orleans' diversity and its strength of character comes from its Africanness in so many ways, and it's widely a part of what New Orleans is, and it's not some kind of joke. You know,
right.
Voodoo isn't a joke, it's a religion, you know?
Well, what I know I might be going off topic, but what it's so imperative to what Andrew Jackson did was to be able to bring all these diverse groups get together, and yet we see all this global Oh, mayhem. And, I mean, even in our country, we cannot get two political parties to talk. And I know, right? I think why your book is so relevant this day. I mean, totally, with
respects. Here's the point. I think you're absolutely right, Suzanne, in the way, but this community was under stress at that point because here you are as a city, and suddenly the largest army in the world that was, you know, that had defeated Napoleon is coming, and they're 4 miles away from you. Nothing brings people better together than the stress of that type of, you know, and the British had burned down the White House. They had raped and pillaged people in Hampton, Virginia. So the women here, loose as they may have their reputations be, mind you, were afraid that the town would be raped and pillaged as well. Much worse than that, there was $60 million worth of cotton waiting to be shipped out but bottled up, you know. So the booty and the beauty of New Orleans was ready for these English people. Jackson comes down at a time, Suzanne, when Americans have just taken over. And if you can imagine America in 1815, it was a very weak and a very small country, and the British were about to win this war because the New England states were about to secede to Canada. And this is why a lot of people don't know this.
Basically, I'm shocked. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of money in the treasury. New Orleans was not a solidly American city by any means. It was a French French African Creole city with a Spanish overlay and a much smaller American population that was trying to change it, but they can't change it because the population is so much larger, people who spoke different languages. And they weren't too thrilled about having Americans as their overlords. So there was a huge question as to whether these people that were here were going to even side with Andrew Jackson when he came into town. So it was kind of fascinating. And Suzanne, you know, this is not a man who in history one can just identify and say, oh, this was great and he was a good man. I try to dissect in this book this moment in history when one man charismatically does what you said, works with a diverse group of people who are unlikely to work with one another, brings them together for a common cause to save the city of New Orleans and America at the same time. And, if I can surgically remove Jackson into that particular point and understand where he comes from, which is really nothing. The man came from a very poor background.
Morgan.
And he was not very well educated. Yeah.
We have to go to break, but I'd love to hear, when we come back, would you tell some interesting traits and characteristics of him that made him the person that he is?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we go on a break, and we'll be back with Morgan Malthrop, the author of the new book that's going to be released September 9th, Andrew Jackson's Playbook, 15 Strategies for Success. Thank you. We'll be back shortly.
It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes life just feels easier, especially when judgment of you or anyone else ceases to exist? What if you could function from that space all the time? What if gratitude is the key? Every time you are grateful for someone or something, a new universe opens up. What difference can you create in your life and the world from the energy, space, and consciousness of gratitude? Join us on Access Consciousness presents Beyond Saying Thank You every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, I was just talking. We were just discussing with Morgan Malthrop about his new book coming out, and we get approaching the 200th anniversary of how Andrew Jackson defeated in the Battle of New Orleans the British Army, almost single-handedly with a bunch of diverse groups. And he was just discussing the primary characteristics of this man that wasn't really recognized. So back to you, Morgan.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is, you know, he was raised, you know, and I'm not, this book is by no means, you know, I'm not a historian, and I really relied on some wonderful people. Meacham, one of them. They're all in the acknowledgments of my book, but, you know, this guy's raised by a mother, a single mother, basically, because, you know, the family, many of the family members are, you know, killed during the American Revolution. So he grows up not liking British people very much and really being taken care of by a mother who has to be dependent upon a family that doesn't really want them there. And he's not terribly well educated. And he will be our first president who's from the quote-unquote West. The West back then being from Kentucky. So he was rough-hewn in a lot of ways. Stubborn. They call him out as a general to defeat the Creek Indians who massacred people at Fort Mims. And he basically ends up finding that the British are coming to invade the South. And they try to come to Pensacola. They try to come to Mobile, and he thwarts them at both of those places, and then comes to New Orleans to try to buttress the city. And there's no fortifications here. The Americans that are here hate the Creoles, and the Creoles hate the Americans, right? And
right.
He comes here, and the governor says, well, you know, we have some militia folks here. I just have to tell you, they're battalions of free people of color, and I'm not so sure we should use them. And Jackson, to his credit, says, you know, well, if they don't fight with us, they're going to fight against us. Bring them on. A lot of people don't know there were two battalions of free people of color that fought during this. And it's 1815, January 8th. And so this amazing thing, and pirates, by the way, too. We would have lost without the pirates.
Absolutely. So everybody wants to blame the South for, especially, you know, the Deep South, for slavery, and to think that, you know, that the people of free color, you know, banded and fought against the British. I mean, it's not well known.
Well, you've got a few issues here. You know, we have the largest population of free people of color in the United States. It's estimated around 40,000 by the time of the outbreak of the Civil War of free people of color. But at that point, about a third of the population was or were free people of color. And they thought of themselves quite often if they were wealthier. The French always said that the Americans were more interested in race than class. If you had money and you were from a family, if your daddy was, you know, basically French quote-unquote nobility or high merchant class, then you probably looked down on the Americans because the Americans that they saw came down the river with a coonskin cap and deerskin pants, for God's sake. So they were barbarians.
What
so these were communities that did not. They were oil and water in so many ways. People forget that New Orleans was a truly exotic Northern Caribbean city. Luckily for us, those same attributes, that Northern Caribbean-ness of New Orleans, that Africanness of our city, that ability to bounce back, that ability to get together when times are rough, were the same attributes as the community used after Katrina. And this is when it started really gelling in my mind. I said, well, here we are with the two most important stressed points of this community. And how is it that almost 10 years after Katrina, this city has rebounded from an economic standpoint, from a cultural standpoint, from a tourism standpoint? And, you know, when you look back, it's this cultural diversity that we have. No other American city is quite like New Orleans. You come here because we're so different. And why are we different? We have an indigenous food, we have an indigenous music, and we have an indigenous religion, if you really think about it.
And Morgan, I mean, you gave me chills because, I mean, for you to take the two 200 years and a devastating event like Katrina and to combine it into a book, and it really, because, you know, I lived through Katrina and knowing the hardship and seeing and living through it, I mean, it's just fascinating idea that you came up with, and I'm so glad you told us how you got this idea. I mean, it's brilliant. I love it.
Well, you know, my parents become heroes in this sense, because a lot of times, you know, people didn't move back here, then the city would have just, you know, withered in many ways. But people came back here because they couldn't imagine living anywhere else, because we're not like America. Our values are about family, friends, food, you know, love of our culture. We're just a different kind of city in that way. And those things actually make a society and a community rich and deep. And so, you know, I come from working on Wall Street, where it's go-go capitalism in New York, and then coming back to New Orleans and thinking it's all so sleepy, and here we are in this terribly depressing post-Katrina environment. And then, you know, things are starting to happen all around me. The Saints win the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just an amazing kind of thing, that the rebound of New Orleans.
And like you said,
clearly, I can talk forever about it.
but it's true. The character and the people of the city are just, we went through a lot, but I mean, still, to be able to rebound and come back, I mean, and I think that's also part of our American heritage, you know, that we broke away from the British. It's just amazing. And then what I want to talk about a little bit more is, how did you develop the strategies?
You know, it's a little bit of Monday morning quarterbacking, if you think about it. You have to use psychological skills. One of the things I did was, you know, I came back to New Orleans because my own business had failed. And I would say that one of the great strategies for success in all people's lives should be failure when it comes down to it.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't fail, how strong are you? Because it's failure that teaches you all of the great lessons in life. And a business that I had started had failed, and I was down and out. And I basically had to go back and live on the side of my parents' home, have my car repossessed. I mean, everything was in this business. And then you know what happened in 2008? In 4 days, we figured out that every bank in America had to be bailed out. And, you know, orders for companies were just completely... So if you had a small company, me and... hundreds of thousands of other Americans, basically, you know, were out of work. So
yeah.
I came down here and, you know, had to start everything anew in a place that I hadn't been in since I was, you know, born and raised here. And ironically, listen to this, Suzanne.
Okay.
I get home. I'm not real happy. I'm in a full state of depression, PTSD, you name it, whatever. And in the apartment that I'm staying in, which we always was, it was the escape hatch for everyone in our family if we ever had a problem, was the full library of Louisiana history. So all I did was just sit there and read and read and read. And the stories of these pirates and the stories of the Battle of New Orleans, they just came to me. They're like voices. And this is how it just, I like Lestat, you know, coming out of the grave, you know, little by little, this place began to fascinate me again.
Wow, you fell back in the enchantment, because it is enchantment.
I fell back in love, and you know what love is. Love can be, and now we'll get to the bedroom from the boardroom, right?
Yeah, okay, we're ready.
True love can be extremely difficult and extremely rewarding at the same time. So sometimes this place can be very, very difficult, and you say, oh my God, this place is driving me crazy. But then you fall in love the next day, and that's real love, right?
Right. I mean, who else can go out and have parties in the street and Mardi Gras and the camaraderie with everybody with the sun? I mean,
it's a street celebration. It's an outdoor city. It's a Caribbean city.
Yeah. Oh, you got it so right. I mean, but the 15 steps, like which one, if you could go through like a couple or maybe your most favorite?
Well, you know, I've always been a little bit of someone who acted with bravado, and that may be compensating for, you know, certain insecurities that I was born with, just like old Mr. Jackson. But, you know, acting with bravado can be a good. There's another side to that.
Yeah.
But I like acting first and getting permission later because, you know, if you can be there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I heard a noise. If you act first and then get permission later, then you're not having to wait for somebody to basically tell you yes or no, and usually the answer is no. So you got to act real fast sometimes in life, right?
Right. I like your number 7 is never forget the prize, because if you know, you keep the eye on the ball and you keep focused, and then all the other stuff comes later that you can, but you've got to have that passion, desire.
You're right on point. You know, my uncle wrote a book called Leadership. If you don't know where you're going, you may end up somewhere else. And this is the truth. But remember this, Suzanne. In our lives, what happens is we go for one prize, and when we have to realize sometimes that prize, as our values are reassessed, is not necessarily the prize that we need to subsequently go for. It's okay to change that prize at a certain point in your life. If your values change, the prize must change.
And Morgan, that's what you were just describing to me, how you up in New York in your business, and then you thought that was where you were headed, and then look where you are today. I mean, you were able, and I think that's one of the other points. We're getting ready to go to break, but I think that was one of the other points, was you have to be able to transition or be flexible and adjust.
Absolutely, you have to be flexible, because you never know what's going to happen, and it's never exactly how you imagine it's going to be.
No, I'm sure we got a few seconds before break, but I'm sure President Obama didn't think this year in re-election.
Oh, poor guy. would you want to be President of the United States right now?
No, I wouldn't want to be.
What an awful position to be in.
Period. But we're going to go to break, and we're going to come back with Morgan Walthrop, and we'll be talking about some more strategies. Thanks so much. We'll be right back.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Do you feel like sometimes you just don't know where to start with your health and fitness routine? Every week, you can hear from people who have been where you feel that you are right now and find out how they move forward and are living their best lives ever. It's called Lifestyle 360, and your host is Nicole Monier. Get inspired to take control of your health and your life. Tune into Lifestyle 360 every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall-Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Empowerment.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Good day. I'm back with Morgan Malthrop, and we were going through the 15 strategies. And one of them, I just have to ask him, because I don't know how many people would react in different parts of the country when you say don't discount the power of nuns. I mean, New Orleans. New Orleans is pretty much Catholic.
City, yeah, as we say.
Right. But I mean, I guess you would have to, like if you're up in New York or wherever the.
Well, let me tell you the story behind that, because there's an interesting story. You know, there are only two times in New Orleans history where the Ursuline nuns who came here in the 1720s, they're part of the fabric of the city of New Orleans. But there were only two times that they truly prayed to Our Lady of Prompt Succor to save the city. And one of them was during the fire of New Orleans in 1788, and in fact, the convent was saved. So they had a pretty good connection in that particular situation. And the second was during the Battle of New Orleans. So I wish that they'd gotten together during, you know, before Katrina. That might have worked as well, but, you know, two out of three ain't so bad.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, how does that work in the boardroom or the bedroom?
Right, well, let me tell you what I always tell people. I'm a Protestant guy from a Catholic city who went to a Jewish school, and I'm going to talk to you about voodoo,
okay.
Right?
All right. I love it.
Because you know it says, don't discount the power of nuns or other devoted women. And Marie Laveau was considered a Catholic. She was a great voodoo queen of New Orleans. And she was very young at the time, but she was considered Catholic. She was married in the Catholic Church. She's buried in the Catholic Cathedral. So people don't understand the hybrid fusion of voodoo and Catholicism. It's very, talk about flexible. That, you know, that she represented in so many ways. And so there was a manuscript. My editor, his name's James Wilson from the University of Lafayette Press, he got a manuscript that basically talked about, and we were joking about it, but there, of course, you know, if you're going to have an invading army and you've got these stresses, and I'm sitting here talking about the nuns, what other forces are going to be there? Of course the voodoo priestesses are going to put their gris-gris down, right? Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'd want them in my corner, especially.
I'd want them in my corner, too.
If you're in, you have a competitive, you know, a competitor in business or you know, somebody that's after your lover or something like that, you always see these, like, I mean, it's like off the wall, but they still do that. They still have these places. I know in New Orleans, I think they still have the Witch's Workshop where you can get...
Well, I interviewed Sally Ann Glassman for the... and she, her husband is Press Catalogoff. They started the Healing Center here, which is on St. Rock and St. Claude, which is a community center to, you know, the rebound center after Hurricane Katrina, and they've done a great job together. She's quite articulate about the healing arts of voodoo, and she's an amazing person. Frankly, because I do what I do and I write what I write, I have to know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I went to her and other people to, you know, you don't want to talk about voodoo and not really know what you're talking about because it's somebody's religion, you know?
Absolutely. And
their way of life.
And
the more I got into it, the more I understood the resilience of the African descendant population here in New Orleans and how much that influenced our resilience here as a city. So especially with, as you say, what's going on in the rest of the world and in America, it's an important point to remember, you know.
I mean,
these people made it through a tremendous amount and did so with great force ultimately.
And like you said, I mean, to come back to the city today and see the revibrance in, you have other projects that you've been involved in with the city.
Yes. You know, I'm very close with the artist community here. Robert Tannen is one of my very good friends, and Willie Birch is a great artist here in the city, and I'm working on a biography that looks at both of their lives together. I have a book that I wrote the text for that just the most amazing photographer. It's her book of 99 images of artist spaces here in the city of New Orleans. And when you see this book, Suzanne, you're just, I mean, her photographs are just amazing. And so I interviewed the artists for this book, so it'll be text by me. And that really enlightened me a lot because, you know, artists are just so inspirational and such amazing people. And you really do, when you spend time with them, you do look at your own value set and you say, okay, these people are, they have a different value set and here's what they do all day, you know. It's amazing to me. I have great, great respect for artists.
And Morgan, what's so amazing when you talk about artists, right there in, you know, Jackson Square, where he's, you know, commemorated, you know, with the horse, there's the artists surrounding him, and then the outer boundaries is the jazz. So, I mean, there's such a, they're so close related that I never realized.
And the food, and then you got
you.
The food, add
yeah.
that element into it. And then now everyone wants to really understand Vodou, which is kind of just fascinating. So culturally, you know, you've got a triple crown here. You know, you can't miss it when you've got indigenous foods, indigenous music, indigenous spirituality here. And people don't think of New Orleans as a spiritual place, but truly, you see a second line parade and you understand what a jazz funeral is, and you know people truly believe on the about the other side.
Absolutely. And what I love about here is that, I mean, we raised with the rituals and traditions, and they, I mean, unlike a lot of other places, that it's really, you know, adhered to.
Like the Mardi Gras Indians, which come out of their own tradition, and Second Line Parades. I mean, there's festivals all of the time. It's because people sit out on their stoops and they gossip, and it's just the world goes by in a different way in New Orleans. And frankly, my go-go boardroom attitude didn't work down here.
Oh, so you had to do one of your
steps
and revamp, huh? Adjust.
I'm still toning it down. I don't know if I'll ever quite get there, but believe me, you know, they weren't ready for what was coming back to them.
I mean, you have a lot of here that you like be flexible and adjust and get the right people in the place. And sometimes, you know, especially in business, that's so important. Well, never mind in the bedroom. I mean, of course, you got to have the right person.
Well, yeah, that's important.
You got to have the right person. But I mean, so many of your strategies. But I want to ask you about your guerrilla tactics. I think that's number 6.
Yeah, it's really important these days. Suzanne, we're living in an age where everything's changing, and, you know, like publishing's changing. The print run on this book is going to be limited, first edition, you know, and that there's a tactic behind that. Because publishing is changing so quickly. The middlemen are being cut out in every situation. You have to really understand how the economy is moving in order to be someone who can make themselves at least live comfortably in this country, because things are moving so fast.
But not everybody has that. I mean, you're fortunate, you know, coming from your background to be able to.
It took a while for me to wake up to that. And, you know, in hindsight, it all looks like so smooth, but it's the bumpiness that makes it the experience, right? I mean, that's what happens. You go through these experiences and they teach you, or you, if you don't learn from them, they're going to hit you again, baby, right?
Right, so you have to learn from your examples and your mistakes.
And you're right about getting the right people in place. Also, when you're working in any team situation, we do a lot of team building for corporations. The company that I own here, along with my partner, we're a destination management company. A lot of corporates come into town and they want to do a team building. And they don't want to see the old New Orleans that everyone's always showing them, Bourbon Street and all. So this cultural tourism is something we really focus on. But I can now go to them with team building that really revolves around these kinds of stories that we're talking about. The Battle of New Orleans, the stories of Vadu, the story of the free people of color and the diversity. You know, where does all this come from? I mean, our above ground tombs, we physically look like, architecturally look like a whole different place. I grew up thinking the rest of the world looked like New Orleans, and then when I left, I was like, what? You know, it all looks like a strip mall compared to this place.
And Mark, and like you said about team building, and that's, you know, even getting diverse people together to get the same mentality, the same drive, the same energy. You can have diverse people, but still have a team. And I think that's what you were talking about, what Andrew Jackson did.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what I'm finding more and more, of course, women are now make up of the majority of the workforce or close to it. And it used to be when we were doing team building, when I was in the corporate world, when I worked on Wall Street and all, you know, it was predominantly male. You know, I think I was the first gay person to be completely out on Wall Street. And, you know, now when we do team building experiences, I find the women being excessively collaborative, very, very, you know, they take on leadership roles, but not in ways that are aggressive. So it's quite interesting to see the change in teamwork dynamics because of the introduction of really, really smart, creative people into these workforces.
You know what I wanted to ask you, Morgan? I'm not sure about this, but when you taught at NYU as a law professor, you had the first class in corporate disclosure.
Yeah, I did.
And I'm not, like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, corporate disclosure is, you know, public companies have to put out information to all, or they're supposed to. Believe me, it doesn't happen always. They're supposed to give the same information to individual investors and the big guys at the same time. And that means there's a process they have to go through that's promulgated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. And so that's called disclosure practice. That means I'm letting you know this information. And let's say it's the Walt Disney Company and their theme parks are going to be off by 20% next quarter. They now know this because they got a number. They've got to put a press release out that goes through a certain format in order to make the world know it at the same time. By doing it in another way, they're breaking the law.
Okay.
So I combine my law degree with my understanding of Wall Street in order to do that. But that was just the most... I mean, disclosure is disclosure, right? I mean...
Okay, but this is what I'm going to ask you, Morgan. We have 30 seconds before break. I mean, do you think if they had all that in position, you know, all these regulations that Andrew Jackson, if he had to go disclose what he was going to do, where we'd be today. So when we come back from break, we'll come back more in strategies with Morgan Malthrop. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Like so many others, do you put on a game face to the world? The stress of home life, work life, and personal life converge on us on practically a daily basis. Yet, so rarely do we let others see our real selves, and we carry on like we don't have a single problem. We need to connect and to find out we're not alone. Tune into Stories from the Heart of Leadership with host Shamin Sadek to find out not only what's been created, but the story behind it. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Master your reality and manifest your desires effortlessly. Listen to The Trivedi Effect to find out how raising your level of consciousness can totally transform every aspect of your life. Hosted by Mahendra Kumar Trivedi with Trivedi Master Alice Branton, our program will spotlight the nearly 4,000 documented scientific studies that have proven the transformational impact of this energy extends beyond humans to all living and even non-living matter. Tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel or Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Get ready to experience a more fulfilling lifestyle. Tune in to Direct Connect Empowerment with host Fee Mazanke. The show will feature guests who have changed their lives by using the Direct Connect coaching program or have worked with the same concepts that this program offers. By hearing how others have been transformed, you will be inspired to move forward. Direct Connect Empowerment with Fee Mazanke can be heard live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit VoiceAmerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, y'all. We were talking about corporate disclosure. Okay, now we're going to go into the bedroom and we're going to talk about personal disclosure. How does your 15 strategies for success of disclosure work in the bedroom, Morgan?
Not very well all the time. You know, these strategies are you know, some of them could work quite well, but, you know, the strategies are, these are real bravado, you're pressed against the wall strategies. I think if you're going to use strategies with regard to the bedroom, you know, never forgetting the prize is not a bad one to think about, and acting with bravado may or may not work these days, you know. Bluffing when you have to could work, you know. Shoring up your defenses, I'm not so sure is such a good one for the bedroom. What do you think?
I like to act first and then get permission later.
No, but that could be rape, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay.
But you could leverage your success, and that's a really good one, you know. I think leveraging your success works out really well. Then you can pray, right?
Get your rosary and your holy
word. Right. Well, I'm not Catholic, so, but, you know, I'll use whatever tactics are necessary. You get to a certain age where, you know, I mean, for me, you know, it's like the bedroom is more like a book now. That's my more constant partner. Let's just put it that way.
Morgan, I guess we have a call on the line. I have Sarah from New York, and she wants to ask.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a question. I'm in New York now, but I was originally from New Orleans, and hearing you guys talk has made me miss the city so, so much. But I wanted to know, I know there was a lot of issues, like, politically with Katrina and the rebuilding of the city, and I was wondering if your book talks about that and maybe your strategies should have been used but weren't, or if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that because you know, what the sidebars on each of these strategies are, how civic and cultural leaders use these strategies in the rebuild. And there is a good deal of positive, there are a good deal of positive things that have occurred in the city that were not occurring before Katrina. For instance, I think that we have a much more, a greater appreciation of our own diversity than we had before. I think before Katrina, we were a very uptown, downtown kind of mentality, if you know what I mean. And nowadays, downtown is being highly stressed, especially because of the arts in Bywater area and in St. Claude, St. Rock area. I mean, you're seeing a whole new city where young people are moving in. One of the stresses that's occurring, however, is that as people do move into the city, they're displacing other people because gentrification occurs. And this isn't something that only happens in New Orleans. It's happening in a lot of places. Whenever you have gentrification, you know, taxes go up and that kind of thing. So that's one of the issues that we're all focused on right now. I think now is the real, what I call the tipping point for New Orleans, which is one of the reasons that I wrote this book. We can go in one direction and go back, you know, slip back, or we can go forward with tremendous force. We've been using a lot of entrepreneurialism because we're not a type of city who can attract, you know, corporates in the same way other cities can. I mean, we have to evacuate for storms. We've got a whole generation of education to address at this point, and we have people focused on that. So there's tremendous positives. We can do better, and part of this book is spurring people to do better. I hope I answered your question.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. How can we, I know you said there's a limited run of the book, so if we're not in New Orleans, how do we get a copy?
Oh, it's easy. You know, it's Octavia Books down here, and so we go to www.octaviabooks.com, and you can just order it on the, online from them. And, you know, it's about a $20 book, basically.
Okay.
And you'll get autographed. They're all autographed first editions, and it's a bicentennial edition. So, you know, we've quoted people like, Sarah, where are you from? Where'd you go to school in New Orleans?
Sacred Heart.
There you go. All right. So, you know, we ask that around here. It's high school.
Yeah,
we
uptown
always
girl.
So, you know, we've quoted a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds. I think you'll really enjoy it. And I hope you're enjoying New York the way that I did when I was there. I mean, it's such a great city.
It's a great city, but it's very different. And I definitely miss New Orleans.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
Like I say, they know you are in New Orleans. But in New York, they don't really care.
you
just
got to
really be strong, you know?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so
much. It's a good learning experience.
I'm going to get a copy of the book.
Oh, great, great, great. I think you should get it made into a textbook and put into all the schools.
There you go.
I think, Morgan,
you know,
Because there's so much, historical content, there's so much revisionist history, and people, I think, are longing to really hear the truth. I mean, everybody wants to take that pill, which is the truth, but it's hard to swallow. So,
well, the part that's most hard to swallow in some ways is for a large group, large population in New Orleans, and this is, we talk about this in the book. Jackson goes on to be responsible for the Trail of Tears, which is a very difficult, terrible period in American history where Native Americans are basically displaced from their homelands and settled out west, and thousands die. So, you know, and then why New Orleans becoming part of America in the way that it does after Jackson succeeds, it becomes a place now where cotton and sugar plantations require tens of thousands of enslaved Africans to be imported, and we become a huge slave capital. So
Morgan,
have to keep these things in mind. Yeah.
Listen, I had enjoyed this conversation. You gave me chills and everything, and I can't wait to get the book. But for everybody, we're getting ready to go to close. Can you give everybody, like, your next thing on the horizon and where people can contact you and where you'll be signing your books for the locals?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'll be signing on September 9th at Octavia Bookstore, which is in Uptown New Orleans, and that'll be at 6 p.m. You can find information about that at www.octaviabooks.com. The phone number there is 504-899-READ or 7323. You can find me on Facebook. The book will be Andrew Jackson's Playbook. So it'll be Facebook, Andrew Jackson's Playbook. There's no apostrophe. And Twitter, at Morgan Malthrop, MorganMolthrop. And I would always, always appreciate being engaged with social media and Facebook, et cetera. I have a very active life online. So.
Thank you so much for being my guest and bringing such knowledgeable and some really strategies from the boardroom to the bedroom. And I think possibly globally people could get there. But thank you, and I enjoyed it so much. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you, Suzanne. I always appreciate it. I love your show.
Oh, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro, will be back again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis. We hope you'll join us as well.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.